Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Hope you had a God, family, country-filled weekend. This is Liberty Roundtable Live for April the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers. One of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. You know we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Wow, man, I was on the road down in St. George, Utah, checking out a little spring break. A little warmer. Wow, it's amazing. So yesterday we were in St. George. It was kind of hot. St. George, Utah, it was 80 degrees, 79 degrees, 80 degrees. And I checked at home where I live in American Fork, Utah, it was like 52 degrees. And I checked up in Idaho where some friends live, and it was like 39 degrees. Amazing spread. The higher you get in elevation and the more northern you get, wow, it cools off quickly, doesn't it? And, man, I'm a guy that likes the cooler weather. I'll tell you that right now. I love winter, spring, and fall and summer just about kills me. I don't know if my body doesn't regulate heat properly or I don't know what's going on, but I just can't hardly take it. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're absolutely doing fantastic. A quick recap of Saturday's show. We were live, even though we were on the road. We were live every single day, thanks to the fantastic folks in studio, in HQ is what I like to call it, doing a phenomenal job. And so on Saturday, a two-hour show, we had Becky Akers, well-known author, her incredible book, Hailstorm, about Nathan Hale and abducting Arnold, a book, The Other Side of the Story of the Benedict Arnold Situation. Anyway, incredible revolutionary new novels. Get them before they're banned. We talked in detail about Ammon Bundy and Derek Schmidt. They have been arrested again for failing to wear a mask in the courtroom. And so, interestingly enough, the state of Idaho, out of control up there, man. Brad Little, the governor there, they literally arrested Ammon Bundy twice in the same day. And they literally said, you got to come to court on your previous trespassing violation, but yet, you know what, we're not going to let you in the courtroom because you don't have a mask, but then we're going to not only not let you in the courtroom, but we're going to say that you didn't appear, you failed to appear. Weird stuff going on, folks. The battle's on between Ammon Bundy and the state of Idaho. Time will tell how it goes. Ammon Bundy, we played a big clip from Ammon about his experiences and what he's saying about the whole thing, so we got his side of the story, and anyway, great long clip. But Ammon Bundy finishes his comments by saying this: I'm either stupid and crazy or we have a big problem. And what's he referring to, you might ask? He's referring to the reality check about how much abuse he's been taking in the state of Idaho. You know what? Why arrest him because he won't wear a mask? And then why not just say, you know what? You're not wearing a mask and it's the law you got to wear a mask. And the answer is because it's clear it's not a law that you have to wear a mask. That's the problem. The governor made an edict or a mandate, declared a state of emergency, an extreme state of emergency, got $8.1 billion from the federal government over it, says he can spend it however he wants at the governor's pleasure is how he puts it, but all the while saying, hey, you know what, you trespassed into the government state building, state capitol there. How do you trespass when it's open to the public? Well, you weren't wearing a mask, sir. Wait a minute, charge me with not wearing a mask, not trespassing. So the bottom line is they're scrambling. They don't know how to deal with Ammon Bundy. Ammon's not liking the mask mandates. Ammon wanting to go ahead and influence the legislature, saying, you know what, this is bogus how we're getting a bunch of money from the federal government over this, quote, extreme national emergency in the state of Idaho. The governor literally creating a martial law situation, according to Ammon Bundy, and it's out of control. All I can tell you is this, our prayers are with the truth. Our prayers are that accountability can happen. And look, can you really arrest people for not wearing a mask? Can you really say to one American, you can't go in the Capitol, you're trespassing, but it's open to the public? How does all this really shake out? Can you really, as the governor, declare an extreme state of emergency, pull down $8.1 billion from the federal government and then claim you can spend it at your pleasure, putting your own team in place to spend the money, skipping the legislative body entirely? You would think the legislative body in the state of Idaho would be speaking out. You would think somebody would sue the governor and go to court and let the judiciary figure it out. But nobody's speaking up but Ammon Bundy. It's a very strange situation indeed. We covered that in great detail. We finished the first hour on Saturday by talking about Biden's gun control crown jewel. Wow, Biden's gun control crown jewel. It's the United Nations Small Arms Treaty, and they're literally trying to take away your gun. So Biden gets in office, swears that he will uphold his oath of office, protect us from enemies, foreign and domestic, but now he's trying to disarm, not the illegal drug cartels at the border. No, they're giving a carte blanche support. You and I, he wants to disarm us. Somebody ought to arrest Joe for that. You know, the law says we have a right to keep and bear arms. If he undermines the law as president, he ought to be arrested, right? Biden's executive order against guns. WorldAffairsBrief.com wrote a great article breaking down the details of that. We covered that as well. Second hour, we talked about vaccine passports, a growing danger to freedom. Boy, howdy, is that the truth. We talked about white supremacist. Let's see, how is this? White supremacist propaganda on the rise, says USA Today, in bed with the Anti-Defamation League on this one. Supreme Court tells Newsom, this is a great news piece. Supreme Court tells Newsom, no way on restricting home-based religious gatherings. So at least we're winning somewhere, right? Small wins, but we'll take what we can get. Yeah. We also talked about future generations are counting on your response, ladies and gentlemen. Sam and Becky round out the show with several solutions. Turn to and trust in God. Turn to and trust in the traditional God-ordained family. Pray for the return of the black-robed regiment. Do you possess enough oil for your lamp is the question that I asked at the end of the hour. So we need to turn to God. The story of the 10 virgins, very instructive. We've highlighted that several days because I believe that's a serious solution. Remember, the 10 virgins, they're all part of the church. Some were wise and some were foolish, right? But the truth is, the important piece of this is, we need to understand who we are. We need to understand what God has asked us to do. He has asked us to keep his commandments. And I'm convinced that we've got a lot of work to do, folks, when it comes to keeping the Lord's commandments. We have a lot of repenting to do as individuals, as families, as a nation. And it starts with repentance, and it starts with trying to be wise and collecting a little drop of oil in your lamp one at a time, one little drop at a time. In my personal opinion, that happens through faithful acts of kindness to others around you. Call it ministering to others is the way I'd probably put it. Minister to others, folks. Care about people more than things, people more than property, people more than possessions, right? Spend time on your knees before God and pray for guidance. Repent. Have faith. Fundamental, simple things. Obey the two great commandments. Love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. Care for those around you. Spend time. Do you know your neighbor's better at the end of the pandemic than you did before the pandemic started? Can you take a step back from your busy buying, getting, spending, whatever life, and take a step back and focus on the simpler, the more powerful things? See, all these things. Do you spend time as a family? Do you read scriptures together? These are all things that I believe could make a tremendous difference. We summarize that by saying, hey, do you have oil in your lamp? Do you have extra oil? Is your lamp trimmed and ready to go? Are you a light on a hill to those around you? Are you spending your time with love and kindness? Are you choosing the better part? All right, great questions, I'll tell you that. Anyway, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place. It just... a short couple days ago on Saturday. We took a break on Sunday because we always rest on the Sabbath, right? We're live Monday through Saturday, 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. 12 hours of riveting, hard-hitting talk radio at your fingertips, free. It's live and on demand. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. By the way, Loving Liberty has an iPhone app and an Android app. You can download those and listen to live and on-demand radio free. Every donation will help us grow our presence in the media, though. we could buy radio stations and stuff if people could donate enough. I don't want you to fund my family, folks. I work all day for that. But I do want you to take part in our great effort to influence the media. For real, to highlight things that relate to God, family, and country. To highlight things that relate to the drops of oil in your lamp that we're talking about. It's a little bit of work every single day. Makes tremendous efforts and differences in lives. All right, Lowell Nelson's coming up in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. I'm waiting for him to join us here. CampaignForLiberty.org, RonPaulInstitute.org, doing a great job. Lowell always highlights a bunch of great stories. We got four topics to discuss with Lowell. And, man, he always brings up topics that we can never get to the end of the discussions about because they're just so good, so detailed, so important. First one, Israel's troubling Green Pass. All right. It's a post-coronavirus system in place. An incredible article written about this by Cheryl K. Chumley. Lowell, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Good. Thanks for having me, Sam. It's good to be with you. Can you hear me okay?
All right. Yes, I can hear you. Perfect, my friend. We'll take a quick break, come straight back. And what the heck is a green pass? We're going to find out. And it's scary, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, it should scare the pants off you. Let's say it that way. Hang tight, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Hi, I'm Dave. I'm 7 years old. I'm sitting here in the corner having a time out until Mom comes to talk to me. All I did was cut my sister's hair. I was just trying to help. I guess Mom didn't like how I did it. In a minute, she'll be back and ask me if I know what I did was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have cut her hair. And she'll say we all make mistakes because we're just learning about stuff. And she'll give me a hug and wind up talking about more stuff.
No matter what you talk to your kids about, love is what they'll hear.
I really like Mom's timeouts, and I think she likes them too. Yeah, I think they help her remember how much she loves me.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org on your radio. We're talking about Israel's troubling green pass. It's the post-coronavirus system, writes Cheryl K. Chumley. And so let me make this very clear. You got to understand, a green card is something that illegals get in America to become legal, to say you're here temporarily on a green card. Don't mix up the American green card with the Israel green pass. Totally different. Came about because of the COCO, and it is dangerous and going to go global if we're not very careful indeed. Lowell?
Yeah, it's a government-sanctioned document, Sam, that says the bearer has been vaccinated. So if you have a green pass in Israel, that's proof or that's evidence that you have been vaccinated. Now, it's interesting to me, Sam, that it requires the bearer to have been vaccinated. Not simply immune to the disease, right? I mean, you can be immune to a disease if you carry antigens for that disease, which means that you can come in contact, you can be infected with a disease, but you're not going to get sick, right? That's immunity to a disease. And I'm all in favor of immunity. And in fact, a natural immunity is the very best thing that you can have. And in fact, your body is gaining natural immunity to diseases every day of your life against millions of viruses and bacteria. That's just natural. That's what the body does on its own. And that's natural. It's wonderful. And so that's the ideal case. But when we're talking about vaccination, then that's another thing altogether. Vaccination does not equal immunization. So vaccination is something where you inject an artificial, something or other into your system, by thereby circumventing the body's natural defenses and so forth, and so you bypass the body's natural mechanisms to build immunity with these vaccinations. So really, the Green Pass is the government. It's a government document that says you have been vaccinated. Well, they don't care whether you're immune to the disease or not. They just care whether you are vaccinated. And to me, that is wildly concerning, very, very concerning. She writes this. This is Cheryl, like you said, Cheryl K. Chumley. She writes, quote, individuals who show a green pass can stay in hotels, dine inside restaurants, attend events of mass gatherings to include religious services and sports games. They can visit places of tourism and cultural significance, gather for weddings and funerals, work out in fitness centers, swim in swimming pools, vacation in crowded places, and more. End of quote. Well, those without a pass, Sam, not so much. You'll notice that the activities in which the green pass holders can engage define what I would call, Sam, a normal, typical life. I mean, that's just normal living, right? To attend mass gatherings, to attend sporting events, to go swimming in a swimming pool, right? I mean, that's the very definition of a normal life. And so you call up a restaurant in Israel to book a table, get reservations to go out and eat, for example, and the restaurant person will ask, "Sir, do you have a green pass? Are you vaccinated?" Well, in other words, the waiters there, in Cheryl's words, have become the gate guards for individuals' personal health choices. Waitresses have become watch guards for the government's vaccination program. End of quote. Well, and the weird thing about this, Sam, is that most people are okay with this confiscation of their liberty. Yeah, sure, you can decide not to get the vaccination, but, and so in that respect, yeah, you know, getting the vaccination is voluntary. But if you don't get the shot, well, what are the consequences? Turns out, well, you cede all commonplace freedoms like those we just mentioned, such as staying in a hotel, dining at a restaurant, attending a religious service or a sporting event, visiting a museum or a historical monument, gathering for a wedding or for a funeral, working out at a fitness center, at a spa, swimming in a public pool, vacationing at a popular beach, and more. Well, in the end, writes Chumley, how is that a choice? So she concludes this way, Sam, this is the language of dictators. This is the viewpoint of the Biden White House. This is how freedom crumbles. The oligarchy of the coronavirus world is coming on strong. And those who choose not to obey, well, get ready. Prepare, stand firm, because in this rapidly emerging Orwellian world, that's one and the same as choosing to rebel against government. Depending on government's move, it could get very ugly out there. End of quote. So, Sam, this is a huge concern. Israel, as you know, is an influential nation, particularly in Washington, D.C., where they have a big influential lobby. How long before states in North America follow suit? Will Utah be one of these states to follow suit, or will Utah refuse and be more like Florida?
Well, and let's be very clear. States like New York and Texas have already selected their designation. New York says, yes, we're going to create a green pass, a, what do they call it, vaccine
passport.
It's another term for it. Okay, but Texas has said we're simply not doing that.
Mm-hmm. That's right, and we're going to talk about them in a second. But my question first for you, our listener, is what are you doing now to strengthen the backbone of your local and state government, right? What's your governor going to do? What's your legislature going to do? Is he or she going to mandate a vaccine passport in your state, like Cuomo did in New York? Or is he going to declare that, you know, by executive order or by a legislative act, that vaccine passports are illegal? They're not to be done in your state. And worse than that, Sam, and you listeners out there, what will you do when and if the politicians in your state claim that they never voted for a vaccine passport, but most of the businesses in your state require one, right? I mean, what if they try to get off scot-free by claiming that they would never mandate vaccination? They would never do that. But for some reason, the businesses, most of the major businesses in your state, begin acting as though vaccinations and vaccine passports are required. What are you going to do then? I mean, this is an honest question. I hope it never comes to that in my state, but I don't have the assurance right now from Governor Cox that Utah will reject vaccine passports. I do have the assurance of some of our legislators that they will reject them. In fact, they will tell you all day long and all night long that they will never vote for a vaccine mandate in the state of Utah. But what's going to happen if they circuitously implore government or businesses in the state to require them? What if they never outlaw them in the state, and allow businesses to operate freely? You know, and if a business is truly independent, What if they choose? I mean, what if you've got a business owner who believes in vaccination to the point where they require, or he or she requires, all of his employees to be vaccinated if they want to continue working? What if they say that the public must be vaccinated in order to do business with them? Is that okay? Is that not an exercise of their freedom to, you know, run their company as they want to run it? What do you think, Sam? I mean, isn't this the one of the most important issues of our day, and shouldn't we be setting about to getting answers to these questions?
The answer is yes. This is serious for our day. There's no question to say, you know, it's important to understand what is Utah going to do. I get it, and I agree. And what is each state going to do in the United States? But imagine a division. And I don't want to pick red, blue like I'm into parties, but it does seem to be the simple default line for now. You know, what are you going to do if it's a red state or a blue state? Is it going to get to where you simply cannot travel to certain states? And how are you going to go through one state to get to another? So let's say that I want to go to Montana or something. Or let me give you another example. Let's say I want to go to California, and I got to go through Nevada.
Or Hawaii. You know, Hawaii is a popular vacation resort, Sam. Say you want to go there.
Great point. And so am I going to be able to go through those states without a, quote, passport or a green pass? Am I going to be able to travel through them, either fly over them? What about the airlines? Am I going to be able to fly? What about government institutions where they say nationwide what will be the policy? It's one thing to say what's going to happen to your state, and I think day-to-day living, that relates well. But I think the context is broader. And I'm convinced if we're not very careful, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to create an America that's not the United States of America anymore. Over this very issue. Because what happens with... Let's hold on and talk about this. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Listen to the wind blow. Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Protests erupted against police when an officer fatally shot a man after stopping his vehicle for a traffic violation on Sunday. The shooting took place in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. The police stop turned into an arrest when warrants were discovered on 20-year-old Dante Wright. A struggle ensued and Dante was shot and killed. Police say both officers' body cameras were recording during the incident. Governor Greg Abbott, the Republican from Texas, said Sunday that Republicans are not alone anymore when it comes to pushing back against the Biden administration's handling of the southern border. Last week, Abbott called the federal government to shut down the Freeman Coliseum in San Antonio, Texas, after multiple allegations surfaced of sexual abuse. Representative Henry Cuellar, the Democrat from Texas, also slammed the Biden administration. We have a new Masters golf champion. Japan's Hideki Matsuyama landed the green jacket with a 10 under par and takes home $2,070,000 for the win. USA Radio News.
Maybe you've heard about MediShare and you know what it is. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. But you've wondered, can I really save a significant amount of money on my monthly health care bills? And the answer is an emphatic yes, you can. You can save a lot of money. Whether it's just for you or for an entire family, MediShare has an option for you. In fact, the typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And it really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. You get free telehealth services, you get a huge network of doctors, you get great customer support, and you get the sense of security that comes from being a part of 400,000 people who share not just each other's medical bills, but purpose too. MediShare is a community of Christians who pull together and pray for each other, which is very refreshing right now. If you want more info, it's so simple. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The cruise line industry being shut down from the pandemic not only hurts workers, it hurts tourist-dependent communities. Jeremy Scott from the Oregon USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Restrictions on cruise ships have been extended until November. Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy tells Fox News having the industry shut down during the pandemic has been decimating.
Between last year and this year, the season is canceled. We're going to have about a $3.3 billion economic loss in Alaska. That's in a state with about a $56 billion GDP, so it's going to be significant. We're going to lose millions of dollars in local revenue for our communities, especially along the coast. Unemployment rates will remain stubbornly high.
Governor Dunleavy has sent a report to the White House outlining the impacts it is having on his state. Carnival Cruises has threatened to pull its ships out of the U.S. because of the CDC's order.
Nearly 30 million people took a cruise between 2009 and 2019. There are 314 cruise ships operating worldwide. This is USA Radio News.
All right, Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson, breaking it down on your radio just for you. So these Israel green passes, not to be confused with green cards, okay? They're disastrous, folks, and they got it already in Israel. If you got a green pass or a vaccination proof, or proof of vaccination, a vaccine passport, whatever you want to call it, you can live life normally without it. You're flat out shut down. What will America do? New York saying they're in, man, they want that. Texas saying, no, we don't want that at all. But what'll happen if you're not careful is then you're familiar with the term reciprocity, right, Lowell?
Yes.
That means that if I have a concealed carry permit in one state, I can use it in another state. The same thing is true for like a driver's license, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the problem is if you're not very careful, based on this divide of which states will embrace the green card or the green pass and which ones will not, turns out to be, if I'm in a state that I'm not supposed to be in without my, quote, green pass or my passport, will I have reciprocity or will all that be denied as well? What will this turn the United States into if we're not very careful, sir?
Yeah, that is a great question. I have a friend who just returned from a vacation with his family there in March. They chose to go to Florida to frequent Disney World because Florida is open, rather than going to California, where Disneyland exists, because California was closed still. And in other words, they're moving their feet with the dollars, right? They're spending their dollars as tourists. They're spending them in states that are open rather than in states that are closed. And so we're already seeing, to some extent, a natural movement of people to and from states that are open, and it's going to benefit the economies of those states, whereas the states that remain closed, their economy will continue to be hurting. Unfortunately, the federal government is going to take the edge off of all of that pain by bailing out everybody with cash, infusions of cash, which is going to deaden the pain for everybody, I suppose. But what we really need is we need economic justice, right? I mean, we need people to vote with their feet and reward the states that are open, and so that it will induce the rest of the states to open as well. That would be the ideal, in my opinion.
It's very scary indeed, ladies and gentlemen, but Texas doing a pretty good job. Florida doing a pretty good job. Other states so far starting to do decent, but it's a hodgepodge, to say the least. But Fauci and Texas are kind of at odds, huh, Lowell?
They sure are, Sam. In contrast to Israel, the Republic of Texas just a month ago announced an end to all coronavirus restrictions, and COVID numbers continue to decline in the state, which is amazing. And so while Fauci, a month ago was quick to attack Governor Abbott's move to reopen Texas, when he was asked about this just last week, why the doom he predicted did not come about, well, he had no good answers. He just hemmed and hawed. And so, the fact that Texas reopened and ended all of their coronavirus restrictions, I find very encouraging. They, just like Florida, Florida reopened. South Dakota, I was going to mention, didn't even close in the first place. In fact, they advertised, they produced a one-minute video advertising the state of South Dakota. And in the video, of course, nobody is wearing masks. Nobody is locked down. And it's really very inviting. If you were a person wondering where to move to, you might want to definitely consider South Dakota, because they never did make, impose COVID restrictions in that state. Well, it turns out in Texas, after having lifted all COVID restrictions near the beginning of March, just a month ago, the number of COVID cases, the seven-day moving average of COVID cases has steadily declined. I looked at this article. This is a Ron Paul report, actually, which is a video presentation that Ron Paul and Daniel McAdams do every weekday. And the chart that they put up, you could see clearly where the lift of restrictions, like on March 4th or March 5th, anyway, early in the March, and the number of COVID cases steadily declined since then, and it continues to decline, still going down. But most encouraging in this discussion, Sam, was the report about baseball at Arlington Stadium, where the Texas Rangers opened their season against the Toronto Blue Jays, and that stadium was busting at the seams with people just everywhere. Well over 20,000 people in attendance, Sam. And the pictures of the people, there were a few people that had masks. I would say, two or three in 10 or two or three in 20 people. But the vast majority of the people there in the stadium just shouting and cheering and having a great, rollicking, good time, no masks. There's none of that in sight. I wish you could see this photo of the crowd in Arlington Stadium, Sam. It is such an encouraging sight. I hope this photo goes everywhere, just goes viral, and encourages people all over the country and all over the world that, masking doesn't make any difference. I mean, there's no correlation really between the states that invoked these restrictions and those which didn't. The numbers just go up and down willy-nilly without regard to the restrictions, the draconian restrictions, Sam. Anyway, this site,
The sad part about this is no one's forcing Dr. Fauci to account for this. He's dumbfounded and confused and act like he doesn't know what's going on. But this is where we need to really put, news people need to put the real screws to Fauci and say, hey, you've been making these dire, whacked out, crazy predictions for literally well over a year. In fact, you've been at this for 40 years, telling people that you know, the sky was falling on all kinds of topics. And you know what, sir? You've simply lost all your credibility. Okay, you don't have any credibility at all now. And we really need to highlight that, not to beat up Fauci as a person. But we've got to jettison his narrative, because his narrative is not science-based. His narrative does not have the American people's best interest at heart. His narrative is a fear-mongering, shut-down society, create havoc all over the map narrative. You know, you can say, well, we're protecting people and their lives, Sam, from the corona. I don't care if you agree or disagree with that statement. I disagree completely. But take it a step further. What about all the people that are isolated and committing suicide? And what about all the people who have other ailments that can't go to the doctor and can't go to the hospital and et cetera, et cetera? What about all the other deaths? You know, we don't have any deaths from the flu anymore. What about, and we go on and on and on and on about the reality of the discussion. And you can't ignore those facts. And that's what Fauci has been trying to do. But now, I don't know of a single more simple, clear example to make the point than that. Do you, Lowell?
I don't. In fact, it reminds me of a podcast I was listening to just last week, I believe it was. Tom Woods interviewed Thomas Massie, who is a member of U.S. House representing a portion of the state of Kentucky. And Tom Woods asked Thomas Massie what his legislation would look like if he were, or his coronavirus, medicine guy or medicine team would look like. And one of the things he said was that he wouldn't rely on a single individual, you know, like Fauci. He would actually get doctors who are out in the wild, practicing, and helping patients through coronavirus. He would get them involved, and he would have numerous people at the table so that every voice could be heard. Whereas, you know, that's so opposite of what we've been going through, where Fauci's voice was basically the only one heard, or that Ferguson fellow from the UK. But these other voices, like Scott Atlas and you know, thousands of other doctors and practitioners would come up with treatments for coronavirus, and very successful. Some doctors with 100% success rates with the coronavirus, but they were never heard. Their voices were muted. Sam, their voices were repressed. They were deplatformed. They were taken down. And, you know, that is not the appropriate way. That's not basing your decisions in science, as you say. And it has led to excess deaths. I mean, they were talking about, you know, Thomas Massie was talking about the questions being thrown at Fauci. And can you even quantify the cost to society by shutting it down? And he could not do that. You know, he's not an economist, sure, but at least if you're going to be throwing these decisions around willy-nilly, at least you should be able to go to economists and get a figure for the economic devastation you're causing the country and the suicide rates that have gone way up, skyrocketed, the damage to life that because of the lockdown. So, very interesting interview, Sam, and these are costs.
Well, let me give you this as a considered. Let me give you this as a final point on this, Lowell. Dr. Pierre Corey, a well-known physician, spoke before the Senate, and he said there is a promising coronavirus treatment in his testimony before the Senate. YouTube just took it down, says that the physician is not credible. We'll talk about it.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
All right, Dr. Pierre Corey, ladies and gentlemen, is speaking out after YouTube took drastic action by removing his recent Senate testimony that discussed ivermectin. Yeah, ivermectin as an incredible coronavirus treatment. He says there's no needful deaths anymore over the coronavirus. We've got the answers. This was before the Senate. And I bring this up because Lil Nelson's talking about, hey, other people are realizing that, you know what, Fauci's out in the weeds. Well, anyway, now they've taken down Dr. Pierre Corey's video that was literally Senate testimony. So now YouTube says you can't even watch Senate testimony with a legitimate physician. This guy's no slouch. He leads all kinds of groups. His evidence is stellar, but they flat out took him down. Are you familiar with Pierre Corey and familiar with the ivermectin solutions? Lol?
Yes, I am. In fact, I watched that a couple weeks ago, maybe a week ago. It is riveting. 30 minutes of a rock-solid science, and the solution he proposes is an excellent one. I mean, they're getting 100% life-saving results out of it. So I heartily recommend that to our listeners, absolutely.
Anyway, interesting that YouTube has the authority to just take that sucker down. We better find solutions in the media. I'll tell you that right now, ladies and gentlemen. You got to jettison the gatekeepers. 246 vaccinated Michigan residents diagnosed with the COVID virus. Lil?
That's out of, I had to dig a little deep in the article to find this, but it's roughly 2.5 million, I'm sorry, nearly 3 million people in Michigan have received a COVID vaccine, which is really just an experimental gene therapy injection. Of that number, 246 were later diagnosed with COVID, and three of them died. Now, even here in Utah, Sam, where over 500,000 people have been what they call fully vaccinated for COVID, this experimental gene therapy injection, there have been 97 breakthrough cases as of 1 week ago. 97, what they call breakthrough cases, or cases where the vaccinated person has been diagnosed with COVID. And so I bring this up not to make a big deal about it, but just to make the point that even though you get this experimental gene therapy injection, it does not guarantee that you are safe from COVID. You know, we got people all over, you know, clamoring for this injection of experimental gene therapy, but there's no guarantee that you're going to be safe from COVID just because you get this injection. It might even predispose you for other more serious problems. We don't even know the seriousness of the problems that you're going to be predisposed for by getting this injection. And yet people are clamoring for it by the thousands, Sam. It's truly...
Well, and out of the 246 that got the disease, even though they were supposedly vaccinated, three dead's a huge number. It's probably triple the number that the COVID death rate is when you get COVID, right?
Yeah, and I'm concerned because not only are people dying from the COVID vaccine injection, this experimental gene therapy injection, But people are more people are dying from suicide than from the COVID. We talked about this on previous shows, that not only in the United States, but in other countries, there are more people dying from the lockdown and depression and so forth than would have died had the virus been allowed to run free, Sam.
Now, you know, Lowell, that I got kicked off of Twitter. And I got kicked off of Twitter because I reported that Israel has more people dying in the elderly population from the vaccine deaths than they do from people getting COVID. And I reported this news. I'm trying to think how to tell the story, make it short. I basically reported this because other LifeSite News and others reported this. And I reported it, and they literally kicked me off of Twitter for it, saying that I can't peddle propaganda. And if I'd repent and take it down, then they'll be glad to reinstate my account. I'm not willing to take it down. Do you want to respond to this, Lowell? Because this is serious.
Well, I don't remember you mentioning that to me, that you were deplatformed from Twitter. But, you know, it's two feelings about that. One, of course, it's a badge of honor to be deplatformed for speaking the truth. But number two, it's sad that they did deplatform you, because you are a truth speaker, and a lot of people benefit from those from hearing your views, and you're sharing news and information on a platform like that. So it's a mixed blessing, I guess. And you know, the good news is,
well, and I don't think I should take it down, platforms. And I don't think I should capitulate. What I'm tempted to do is sue Twitter over it.
Yeah. Well,
because
you know,
here's
they're
the
gonna
question.
Come back and,
Well, here's the question: if LifeSite News reports it, and they point to case studies, and they point to organizations and news reporting in country documenting the research that was done, and I just merely report on it, am I allowed to let you know that that research was done? And there's people out there that are credible, that are physicians, that have that viewpoint. LifeSite News reported it. Can they really kick me off Twitter just for letting people know that exists?
Well, you know, that's a sticky one because, yeah, a business has the right to do what they want. But see, if they violate the
not
terms,
not when they take taxpayers' dollars,
you,
they don't.
You're exactly right, and that's this government, this private-public partnership idea. This the fascist idea where government is partnering with private businesses, and those private businesses then, under the guise of a private business, take an action like deplatforming Sam Bushman because he's speaking the truth, while they put on their government hat to get handouts and bailouts and money and stuff. You know, it's wrong. It's morally wrong for them to be doing that. You know, I'm not even tripling down
saying this report is factual. I'm merely telling you that this exists, and there are people that have, it's kind of like the ivermectin story. Hey, I don't know everything about it. I'm just telling you that Dr. Pierre Corey testified before Congress. He testified before the Senate, and now YouTube took the video down. But he's a credible physician, and he has a completely different take than the story you're being told. Do I have the right to tell other sides of the story?
Well, you absolutely do, Sam. Absolutely do. And the good news is there are a lot of other platforms that are popping up because of this repression, this deplatforming of people. There's BitChute, and other YouTube type sites popping up. There's other Twitter-like sites popping up everywhere. And there's quite a vast concourse of people that have left Twitter, have left YouTube, because of the repression that, you know, they feel on those sites. So, you know, freedom will be free, and it will go wherever it can go to find a voice. You know, if you're not getting the news on YouTube, I mean, it's time to leave. Time to leave Twitter.
Amen to that.
Leave them in the dust.
There's another story that you got to have before the end of the hour, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell brought this one up as well. Why is the Biden administration pushing the Ukraine to attack Russia, writes Ron Paul? Great column to end on, Lowell.
Yes, thank you, Sam. We haven't discussed foreign policy for quite a while, at least I haven't brought it up in my notes, but it turns out that just 3 weeks ago, March 24th, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky signed what was essentially a declaration of war on Russia. Yes, you heard that right, folks. In the document, the U.S.-backed Ukrainian leader declared that it is the official policy of Ukraine to take back Crimea from Russia. End of quote. It was right out of Ron Paul's column here. This declaration that Ukraine would take back Crimea may have been precipitated by Biden's inflammatory and foolish statement that Crimea is Ukraine. Well, who's he got working for him? Who's Biden have working for him? He's got the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who was a chief architect of the U.S.-backed coup against Ukraine in 2014. He's egging on the Ukrainians, promising full U.S. support. Biden's got the U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, who called his counterpart in Ukraine earlier this month, which was just last week, promising unwavering U.S. support for Ukraine's sovereignty. You've got evidence of U.S. support in terms of 300 tons of new weapons from the U.S. to the Ukraine in the past several weeks, and more is on the way. So you've got all of these signals from the U.S. regime to Ukraine saying, go, you know, take Crimea back from Russia, we'll support you. Well, what would you do if you were in the Kremlin, right? What would you do to respond? Well, that is what Putin has been doing. He's been moving his troops closer to the border with Ukraine. But Sam, answer me this. What happened in 1956 when the U.S. government pumped endless propaganda into Hungary, promising military backing for an uprising against its Soviet occupiers? Do you remember what happened, Sam?
Hungary trusted us and got betrayed.
Exactly right, Sam. Hungary rose up against their Soviet empire, and they found themselves all alone without U.S. support, and they got crushed. Well, I sincerely hope, Sam, that Ukraine does not make the same mistake that Hungary made. They simply cannot believe anything that comes out of Washington, D.C. And so Ron Paul ends his excellent column this way, Sam. He writes, quote, "It seems as if Americans are sleepwalking through this dangerous minefield. Let us hope they soon wake up before we're all blown up." End of quote. Great column, Sam, and it's sobering because I've got a lot of friends in Ukraine. I've got a lot of coworkers over in
Ukraine. Amen. We need to pray for peace, sir.
Yeah, we do. In Lviv, but see, Lviv is in the western portion of Ukraine. Kiev is in the eastern portion, and it's the eastern portion that I worry about because that might become a war zone in the next, you know, few weeks and months if we're not careful, Sam.
We got to pray that cool heads prevail here, and we got to sue for peace, ladies and gentlemen. Pray to Almighty God for peace and influence our leaders to let them know, hey, we are not the warmongering type. We don't want to be there. We don't want to be involved. We don't want to pick sides. What we want to do is set an example for peace. We want to provide real leadership. And I think if we do so, we can have peace, Lowell.
I agree, Sam. Let us continue to pray for that. There is a group called the Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, VIPS for short, or VIPS. They wrote to President Biden just last week and asked him to stand down. They gave very specific points saying Ukraine is not a member of NATO. Ukraine's current military flexing, if allowed to transition to actual military action, could lead to hostilities. And so they gave him point by point a recommendation what the U.S. ought to do to help Zelensky stand down in order to maintain peace in the Crimea. Sam?
It can be done, ladies and gentlemen, but it takes turning to Almighty God, in my humble opinion. He is the author of peace and the author of our liberty. And if we turn to him, he will protect us and heal our land. He'll do that for other lands if they turn to him as well. For Sam Bushman and Lowell Nelson, God save the Republic of the United States of America.